Thank you for listening to our podcast. We trust it inspires and encourages you to honor God and make disciples. For more audio messages like these and other resources, please visit victorymetroeast.org.
Good afternoon po sa inyo lahat. Sampung araw na lang po. Woo! Pasko na. Anyway, advance Merry Christmas. My name is Don. I'm one of the pastors here. And together with Pastor Winston, we serve under the leadership of Pastor Mark. Right? And we are just honored to serve God's people here today. We are in a series right now. This is our second installment. If you happen to miss our series, the beginning of our series last week, we have a podcast. You can download that. Right? And please don't. Sa website natin, oh, victorymetroeast.org. Something like that. Okay, so, di ko pa masyadong kabisado. Anyway, don't miss our last installment of this series next Sunday. Okay, so before I begin, let me just tell us the whole goal and the heart of this series. Our goal and our prayer is that our faith will see that God is never late in fulfilling His promises, in answering His prayer. And as He does that in our lives personally, hopefully it will also lead us into a greater understanding of the gospel revealed through the stories of the birth of the Messiah. And I know that Christmas is being celebrated year after year, and many of us probably are familiar with the stories of the nativity, the virgin birth, and all of that. But I believe there is really a good reason why we have this opportunity every year to be reminded to go back. Right? So hopefully we'll see that. Now, last week, we talked about despite lost opportunity in the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth, it's seemingly a lost opportunity for them, have been wanting to have a child and been praying for such a long time. Now they were old and Elizabeth was barren. And yet God came to answer that prayer in a time perhaps where the couple are not anymore expecting an answer to that prayer, or not anymore expecting a baby. Yet still God remembered and answered that prayer. And I believe that for the couple, personally, it was a great joy. Kumbaga, ang nangyari doon, if Zechariah were to write his about his life, he would write at the end, me and my wife, yes, we love each other, but we were childless, and my wife is barren, and we died a good old age. But God rewrote his life, right, bringing a different story. Amazing, isn't it? So we've learned that with God, there are really no lost opportunities. There is only the right time. Today we'll talk about despite the natural. We're going to look at some things that may seem to be natural or normal, yet God is working behind the natural, behind what is seemingly normal. And there's something supernatural that is happening. And I believe that even at this very moment, many of us probably go through this life according to the norm, in just the natural, of the familiar way. But I believe, I'm fully convinced with all my heart, that God is doing something behind the norm, behind the natural in your life right now. Do you believe that? I believe in that with all my heart. And hopefully, we will see that personally in our lives. And we will also see the bigger picture, because there is a double relevance of the stories, of the narratives in the Christmas story. It wasn't just God doing something personal in the lives of these people, Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, and Joseph. But in that personal work, in that personal amazing work that God is doing in their lives, there is actually a bigger picture. It connects to a bigger picture. And I believe it's the same way with our lives. God is doing something personally in us, but it's not limited to just us. Okay, God has something more. What He is doing in our lives personally has a connection to a bigger purpose, a greater plan. Amen po ba? Do you believe that? And hopefully that's what we really get to know and understand. Okay, not just this season, but in our life. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you're ready to receive the Word of God today, can you get your Bibles? Or if you don't have a Bible, you can just look up in the screen. Please open it to Luke chapter 1. And if it's okay with you, can you stand on your feet and let's give reverence to the Word of God as it is being read. I am reading from the New International Version, 1984 edition. Verse 26, let me read. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." The angel went to her. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Can you say that with me? Nothing is impossible with God. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Let's pray for a while. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, Father, speak to us today. We welcome your word in our lives. We open our hearts. Let your will be done, Lord. Give us ears to hear what you want to say to us and eyes to see what you want to show us, Lord. We give you the glory. We acknowledge you in this place. Thank you for this opportunity to hear and receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You may go and have a seat. We will look at the time when God revealed His plan to send His Son, all right, through a virgin, a conception in a young woman who is a virgin, okay, and through a virgin birth actually, and this woman named Mary. But I believe it's important for us to look back how this all happened. Okay, going back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, there was a promise. It wasn't actually a prophecy because there were no prophets yet during this time. There was only God, Adam, Eve, and the serpent. Okay, so something happened with the man and the woman. Okay, being tempted by the serpent, and then God gave this promise. He said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." So in response to the serpent's actions tempting man, which led to their downfall, God promised a seed, okay, coming from a woman, an offspring, okay, who will crush the head of the serpent, ending his influence and power over man. Okay, this was a promise that the influence of this serpent, okay, will end its hold over man. So a son will come from the line of the woman, okay, Eve, and there will be a battle between this male son, right, and the serpent. And although the serpent will strike his heel, right, this son will crush the head of the serpent. Okay, so what an amazing promise, isn't it? From that point forward, God's people and those who have heard about this message, okay, which is actually good news. Okay, and it was spoken at a time when sin entered man, when they fell. Okay, and from that day on, God, our people were anticipating and believing in this promise, right? Waiting for that they called Messiah to come, right? To the one who will conquer Satan, the one who will overcome death, the one who will give victory, the one who will heal, the one who will forgive sins and restore everything back according to God's good, pleasing, and perfect plan and will. Amazing, isn't it? So the whole Bible, if you look at the Bible, it's actually a blueprint of God's plan of redemption for man, restoring things. Also, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says there, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Okay, which actually means God with us. So here, there was a promise and then there was a prophecy, right, spoken by the prophet Isaiah. So all the more were the people were anticipating, right, and waiting about this virgin birth. Now it's becoming more clear, okay? Before it, the promise was said that the woman will have a son, and then the prophecy said that the virgin will have a son. Okay, so there's a growing expectation and anticipation by God's people awaiting for this promised Messiah, this promised Savior. And in the process of waiting, many mindsets, right, have been developed. Many ideas had been spoken of and discussed. So many think that, you know, this son coming from the royal line of David, right, will be glorious, right, and they were thinking in terms of the natural. Yes, it was glorious. Yes, it was magnificent. Jesus is magnificent. But this time, while in the process of waiting, what was developed in the minds of people was all natural. So they were thinking about, you know, a warrior, okay, a king coming from the palace with all its splendor and glory, restoring wealth, okay, in the nation and all of that, okay, all in the natural. But God had other plans. Okay, so now, in this story that we've read a while ago in Luke, this is actually now the fulfillment of that promise and that prophecy. And very contrary to the mindsets that have been developed in the people. Okay, it was out of the natural. Okay, it was actually unexpected. Okay, so there were twists in this story that I like to point out right now, and hopefully we'll learn, not just learn, but relearn, and we'll continue to learn, because many of these have already been revealed to us. So despite the natural, there were twists that was happening in this story, and one of that is Nazareth. Okay, Nazareth. Why Nazareth was a twist in the story? Because Nazareth is a small town. It's far from Jerusalem. It's far from civilization, okay, the center of life and worship, okay, malayo yung Nazareth. Okay, it's actually practically unknown town. In the Bible, it was only mentioned in the four Gospels and in the book of Acts, referring to Jesus of Nazareth and his birth. Other than that, there were no other mention of Nazareth. It wasn't mentioned in the Old Testament. It wasn't mentioned in the letter. Nothing else was mentioned. Ganon po ka, kumbaga, irrelevant, no? Itong small town na to. Okay, ganon ka uncommon. Okay, yung Nazareth. Yet, right, listen to it. Yet, God sent his angel Gabriel where? In Nazareth. And this angel Gabriel is not just some angel. This angel Gabriel was sent by God every time there is an important message that God needs to convey. This angel Gabriel appeared some more than 500 years prior to this to a prophet named Daniel and was delivering a very important message, okay, that concerns the future, okay, a prophetic message. Okay, Daniel, if you read your Bible. And then after a long time, he appeared to Zechariah, and then a few months appeared to Mary. That's it. Right, so we didn't know if he's the one who spoke to Joseph in a dream in Matthew chapter 1, reference to Joseph's side of this story. But that's what's happening. this angel Gabriel went to the town of Nazareth, okay, and this town was nothing. And even though in the natural, there was nothing happening in this town, yet God was already doing something. Isn't that amazing? Right? Of all the cities, and why not Jerusalem? Why not? It's in Nazareth. The angel of God came down at Nazareth. In Jesus' time, Nazareth was a very small place. Perhaps not, probably, it's not a town of thousands. It's probably a few hundred people, okay, according to history. Okay, just a few hundred people, and perhaps si Joseph and si Mary, siguro magkakilala na sila, no? Families nila magkakilala. Kasi konti lang yung tao. Baka si Joseph, crush na niya si Mary. Maliit pa lang si Mary, talagang, right? Nagsisipag na siyang magkarpintero kasi para nag-iipon siya, para mayroon siyang pang-dowry. Right? One day, kay Mary. Right? So, and that's Joseph. Okay, talking about Joseph. He was just a regular guy. We don't know much about Joseph. All we know that he's a good man. He is coming from the line of David, a descendant of David, and that he is a carpenter. Okay? Because Jesus was referred to as the son of a carpenter. So, most probably, he's a carpenter. Yun ang profession niya. Other than that, we don't know anything much about Joseph. Okay? But, here's Joseph. Here's a guy, just you know, have the dream of his life. Okay? Marry a woman, raise up, you know, kids, have a wonderful home, and that's it. Yet God had other plans, and God wasn't like, you know, destroying or nullifying the plans of Joseph. He fulfilled that, but God had other plans, greater plans than what Joseph had planned. Okay, so, and that's the side of the story. That's the other twist. They got engaged, Joseph and Mary. Everything was okay, normal, going smoothly, until Mary was gone for 3 months, and when she came back, she was already pregnant. Alright? Ganun po yung nangyari. So here's Joseph. Okay, now what will happen to my dream? He actually had in his mind, at the back of his mind, okay, because probably he loved her, okay, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. So he was parang alam mo yun, naki go with the flow na lang siya. But he had it in his mind to divorce her quietly until the angel again appeared to him in the dream in Matthew chapter 1, right? And telling him that, Joseph, you know, I'm not messing up with your dreams and your plans, but I'm doing something. And he was willing to respond to God to that. Amazing, isn't it? Okay, so and then Mary, we look at Mary in verse 28 to 30. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Right? Verse 30 tells us that she has found favor with God. Mary, in the natural, we think of her as a very beautiful, anong tawag doon? Faultless ba yun? Flawless, yun pala. Flawless. Right? Parang anong tawag doon? Kutis porcelain. Right? Kutis porcelain na talagang sa Bisaya pa hamis na hamis, right? So talagang walang bahid ng fault. Okay, kaya flawless. Okay, so but I believe that a more accurate picture of Mary is that she was a poor girl, right? Dressed in poor clothes, fetching water, nag-iigib, okay, for the house, kumukuha ng mga wood for fire, wood for cooking, right? Madumi yung paa siguro, madumi yung sandals, right? Because that's who they are. In fact, when Mary and Joseph, after Jesus was born, when they were bringing offering, they could not afford a lamb. What they offered was only dove, which is an offering for the poor. At tinatanggap ni Lord yun, at naiintindihan ni Lord na, okay, hindi nila ma-afford yung lamb. Ganon sila. Yun yung picture nun. Right? So, hindi yung naiisip natin ngayon na ganon. Iba yung picture. Okay? And for the people, probably in her town, she was young. We don't know. Probably, she was around between 16 to 18. According to study, you know, history. It's not accurate, okay, but she was young, and here she was, all right, pregnant. And you can just imagine, okay, and she's saying, you know, I'm pregnant with the Son of God. All right, people would probably, okay, so ano nangyayari na to kay Mary, all right, so medyo nasisiraan na to ng bait. You can just begin to imagine. And you know what's amazing? Even though she was young, imagine this, the angel appeared to him, to her, and she was able to, she had that kind of disposition in her that she was able to engage in a conversation with an angel. Wow, what great faith and maturity, isn't it? But that's Mary. She has all the characteristics according to the people that would not seem for God to use in amazing way. Parang si God, si Mary, gagamitin ni God. Anak ni God, ipapaalaga niya kay Mary. So, in the natural, Mary doesn't fit. You know, God could have decided and have chosen to pick a beautiful woman, okay? Probably a virgin, also a virgin in a palace, all right? So that when the third person in the Trinity will grow up in a more comfortable and affluent home and all of that. God could have chosen to do that and have decided to do that. Yet, He chose Mary. He chose a poor girl. A young girl. Isn't that amazing? He chose this woman to entrust her fragile son. There's nothing natural about that, isn't it? But it's seemingly natural, but God is doing something already. And this is simply a picture of grace in the life of Mary. Because apart from the grace of God, she won't be able to do it. That's why God, the angel said, "Greetings to you, whom you are highly favored." So despite being in the natural, ordinary, limited, okay, God was able to use her and display His power to fulfill His purpose. That's the second twist, okay? Mary. The other twist was Jesus, okay? Now, of course, nowadays, Jesus, whoa, we worship you, Jesus. But in the time of Jesus, it's just another name. He's not the only boy who had the name Jesus. There were many babies that were born named Jesus. Jesus simply means Savior. Okay, Joshua. It's the same meaning with Joshua. It's a very common name. Okay, it's a you know, normal. It's just a natural name given to people. But really, is there anything natural about this Jesus that has been born? For the people, He's just that same cute baby boy. Cute baby boy. Umiiyak ng ganun. Jesus. In the natural. But you know what? This is Jesus, the Son of God we are talking about. It's the name that is above every name. Fragile. Yes, He may be fragile. He may be helpless. But He is more than just a cute baby. He is God. And isn't it amazing that God was willing to humble Himself, become a baby, so fragile, so dependent. Amazing, isn't it? The virgin birth is another instance of miracle being exception to the natural order of things. The virgin birth was chosen by God as His way to come here on earth. No human intervention whatsoever. Just the power of God that came upon this virgin to conceive and give birth to a son while remain a virgin. Right? So, Jesus means Savior. The Bible says that He is the Son of God. He will be called the Son of the Most High. He will be King forever. This is not just a cute, fragile baby, but this is God. This will be the King who will defeat Satan, who will destroy the power of sin and death, the curse of sin, and will set people free and forgive their sins. This is this baby. And you know what's amazing? It is so irrelevant for the people at that time that nobody really rejoiced, except for a few shepherds, okay, the wise men, the magi, who came. Other than that, there was no inn available for them. I mean, who is this baby, all right? So find another place. There's a manger. Okay, there were no crowns, okay, and trumpets and soldiers welcoming the coming of this baby. All right, this is Jesus. Yet, he will be king forever. He is Lord and he is God. The birth is a natural physical process, but the natural really does not hinder God in doing something supernatural. In fact, when God begins to move, nothing natural will remain natural. Hello? Nothing normal, okay, will remain just some normal. I mean, di ba? Sino mag-akalain na ikaw dati, palaboy-laboy ka lang, tapos ngayon, sinave ka ni Lord, ngayon, ginagamit ka na. Di ba? Because when God moves, everything changes. And that's why as Christians, as believers, we cannot, you know, walk this life just thinking na, okay, normal lang to, okay, natural, okay, just the seemingly, okay, familiar, ano. When God is moving in your life, come on now. When God is moving in your life, nothing natural remains natural. Everything becomes supernatural. Miracles. Your faith begins to see the power and the goodness of God. Because there is nothing natural with God. God is all and all supernatural. Compared with us, kung si God, natural sa kanya yon, kasi ganun siya talaga. He is God. But compared with us, hindi natin maabot yon. Kasi sobrang supernatural ni God. Sobrang taas lang ni God. And this is why the Bible says that with God, nothing is impossible. And this is really an important lesson for us. And not just a lesson, but a continuous, you know, commitment and understanding that we need to grow. There are truths that we can learn, continually learn and celebrate, okay, in this story of Christmas. And hopefully this will not just be Christmas that we will celebrate it, but all throughout our life. And that is grace, salvation, and faith. Grace, salvation, and faith. See, grace is God's unmerited favor. His grace operates without regard for who we are or how good we are. It's never based on that. Are you with me? God's grace is not dependent on how good you are, how significant you are, kung anong yung mga na-achieve mo. It's not. If it is, then it's not called grace. But God's grace works to those who are weak, to those who are helpless, to those who are powerless. The grace of God works. And that's what really Christmas is all about. It's the grace of God. When that angel went to Nazareth, that's grace. There's nothing significant about Nazareth. Yet God chose the town, sent his angel. That's grace. It's a picture of grace. When God sent his son, when God, you know, causes us to be able to believe in him, there's nothing, you know, in us that has greater ability compared to others to believe in him. It's just simply the grace of God working in our lives. And whether, you know, you are been a Christian for 10 years, 20 years, or you are just, you know, new in this church, it's the same grace that is working in your life. It's a grace that is coming from God. And it's important to continually celebrate that. Not just Christmas. You see, Christianity is all about God favoring us by his grace. A nobody, okay, a nothing. Yet because of His grace, He does something good to us and He turns it into a testimony. That's the difference between Christianity and religion. Religion is really trying to do something to achieve favor from God. No, in Christianity, God gave you favor even when you are not doing anything. Hello? And that's something that is worthy of rejoicing. The story of Mary was a story of grace. It's a story of grace. Who is Mary during her time? Today we have developed some, you know, teachings and doctrines. Okay, but really, the truth is, in her time, she was just a virgin girl. But God chose her. God came through her. And that's grace. That's grace working in her life. Jesus coming is a story of grace. Could you imagine if Jesus did not come, if God decided that, you know, we'll just all go to hell? But He sent His Son, born of a virgin, went through the natural process of being birthed, growing up, being conceived, birthed, and growing up, and was sacrificed for our sins. That's grace. That's the grace of God. Next is salvation. Salvation is for everyone else. One truth that we need to celebrate in the Christmas story is salvation. Salvation is for everyone. It's for the adulterer, the drunkard, the murderer, the grumbler, right? It's also for the self-righteous, the religious. It's for everyone, for every sinner. That's salvation. It's for every one of us here. And if you are here today and you are not sure that you are saved by the grace of God, you have no idea if, you know, you will go to heaven or, you know, sana heaven, not hell, and there is no such an assurance in you, perhaps today is just the right time for you to surrender your life to God and receive His grace and experience His salvation. Because Christmas is not just about grace, but it's about salvation. That God sent and fulfilled His promise so that salvation can be assured by man. And then faith. We need to celebrate faith. You see, this season, you know, there's so much celebration, money, activities, party. Tanong ni Pastor Winston kayo, kayong pangilang party na. Alright? Ingat lang kayo, ha? Sa kakakain nyo, ha? Pangilang party na. Okay, minsan nga, sa dami na ng soft drinks na nainom mo, talagang sipon-sipon na, okay, kakasakit ka na. Okay, sa dami ng sweets and desserts. Okay, so, but it's more than that. Really, it's about grace, salvation, and faith. And let me just say this, that Mary should not be our object of faith, but she is an excellent example of faith. My prayer is that every one of us here will have the same kind of faith Mary does. What an amazing faith to trust God, accept what God wants in her life, even though that favor seemed to be, you know, alam mo kasi, the Lord is with you. You are highly favored. Okay? So, mabubuntis ako. Hindi ako kasal. Virgin ako. Sasabihin ko sa mga tao, okay? Buntis ako. Kay God tong anak na to. Anong favor noon? Ang respond ng mga tao, talaga, okay ka lang. Okay? Anong nakain mo at naging lukaret ka na? What favor are you talking about? But she had the faith. You know what she said? She said, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be done to me according to your word. Wow. Wow. Does any one of us here willing to pray that and make that statement? I am the Lord's servant. Let it be done to me according to your word. Persecution is a word from God. Yes, Lord. Right? Trials and hardships is a word from God. So be it. Come on now. Would you really, you know, sincerely. That's not an easy thing. But she, with her faith, said that and was willing to let God take control over her life. I don't know what happened. There's not much story, but you could just begin to imagine, you know. In fact, when Jesus was growing up, there was reference to, you know, yung mother ni Jesus, you know, being really, ano tawag doon, parang degrading na referring to a woman, or na alam mo yun, parang, kasi nabuntis, hindi pa kasal. Right? And then, anak ni God daw, kuno, virgin. It's just impossible in the natural. But she was willing to take all that and she was willing to serve God. And that's my prayer, that like Mary, we will follow her example of serving God, of welcoming whatever it is that God wants in our life. And there is grace. There is grace. There is favor. There is salvation when we allow God to do that in our lives. You see, as I close, let me just encourage us to continually walk in the grace of God, to continually grow. We may heard of these things. I know about that grace. Halos lang every Sunday na lang. But see, it's not just about knowing. It's about really growing and living it out. Not every day, not just this season. You know, personally, I am grateful for Christmas, not just because of the lights, the parties, the gifts, right? The bonuses. But for me, I'm grateful that every year I have an opportunity to be reminded of who God is, His grace, His salvation in my life, and what He will do in my life. That's an opportunity. And you see, many scholars will refute, studies have said that Jesus wasn't born in December, okay? It cannot be. But you know what? It doesn't matter. For me, it doesn't matter. The reason why this is probably the right time for us to be reminded of who God is, so that before we enter the next year, we consider Him first. Before we even make those plans and go to the norms of the next years, we have an opportunity to go back and remember and embrace and celebrate grace, salvation, and faith. And every year, we get to do that. I don't know how many Christmas you've ever had in your life. Some of you, 60 Christmases already. Some of you, 40. Some of you, kayo naka 18 Christmas na kayo sa buhay niyo. I had more than 40 Christmases already. But should this be a natural, normal, familiar thing to us? Or is it an opportunity every year that we have to just go back to the grace, go back to believing and trusting and surrendering to God? Lord, let Your will be done. I believe that's what Christmas is all about. And I believe that's what we ought to celebrate. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You that even now, there is grace available for every one of us here, Lord. And some of us probably are thinking that I need to do this, I need to do that, so that I can have the grace of God, how I can experience the favor of God. No, that's a burden, that's a religion. I pray, Lord, today, that true grace will be revealed to Your people. I pray for salvation to come, not just into their lives, but to their loved ones. How many of you are believing for salvation of your family and loved ones, husbands maybe, son or daughter? Lord, I pray. God, I thank You that salvation has come in the name of Jesus Christ. That salvation is now being preached, Lord God. And salvation can be assured, Lord. And salvation is upon us, Lord God. And it can be preached to others, Lord, to our families and loved ones. And so I pray, Lord God, that this season will be a season of seeing lives saved and changed, Lord, and healed and restored in a relationship with You, Lord. I pray, God, that You will even use their personal testimony of salvation that others may hear and will respond in the same way. And I pray for faith, Lord, to grow in every one of us, Lord, that the faith we knew this year and last year, Lord God, will be a different faith that we are going to know the coming year, Lord. Because there is more of you to know. There's more of you to understand. I pray that you would give us this faith, Lord, growing faith in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless your people. Be glorified.